Okay, don't say anything you don't want on the internet. But we're talking about David and running away from Absalom. We've dealt with Tehillim. Now we're going to go back to the text of the narrative and the story. Susie's making me hungry.
It's later for me.
We all got our extra hour of sleep. Okay. So where we left David, he is heading east. He had left Yerushalayim. He was in Nachal Kidron. They went up Har HaZeitim, went to the top of Har HaZeitim, looked back at Yerushalayim, was going to give up. Hushai Arki says, no, you can't give up. And then we pick up our story here. Parak Tet Zayin, Hazakallah. David Avar Ma'at Me'arod. David had gone a little bit, descended a little bit from the top of the mountain. So this is on the east side of Har HaZeitim. No longer see Yerushalayim. V'nei tziva na'ar mipiboshet likrato. And coming to greet him, oh, we lost Janet. Bye, Janet. Tziva, who was, I'm going to translate now, the steward of Mephibosheth, who's the son of Yonatan, the grandson of Shaul. Remember who Mephibosheth is and who Tziva is. But Tziva is coming to greet him. Tzemed Chamarim, he has a team of donkeys, Chavushim, with saddles, Balehem Matayim Lechem, with 200 loaves of bread, Umeat Smukim, and 100, I assume not just raisins, but bunches of raisins here, Umeat Kayetz, and 100 Kayetz in this sense is the summer fruit. I also assume packages of Benevel Yayin and a wineskin. And he's coming to greet David as David is leaving Yerushalayim. Yomar Melech HaTzibya. So David says, as the Melech, so he's acting in his royal authority, asked Tzibya, Ma Elalach. What's the deal with all of this? Yomar Tzibya, Tzibya says, Amacharim L'Beit HaMelech, Yerkov, that the donkeys are there for your household to ride on, Balechem, V'Kayetz L'Echol HaNarim, and all the food is there for your people to eat, V'Yayin L'Shtot HaYaef, and the wine is so that the ones who are exhausted can drink it. But Midbar, as you're going off into the wilderness, I'm providing you with supplies. All these donkeys, you're on the run. You need the food. I'm here to help you. So says Tziva. David looks at him and says, "Well, where is Mephibosheth? You are the servant of Mephibosheth, who is the last remaining heir of Shaul." And you're coming with all this stuff. Where is Mephibosheth? And Tziva tells the king, "Hinei Yoshev Yerushalayim." He stayed back in Yerushalayim. Ki amar, why? Because he said, "Hayom Yeshivu li Beit Yisrael et Mamalchut Avi." Because now we got the civil war going on. Absalom David, they're going to kill each other, and all of Israel will look back at the good old days when Shaul was king, and they will return me as the grandson of Shaul, to the kingship. I will become king. All right. So David is not only facing the betrayal of his son, but also of Beit Shaul, which hasn't been a problem for the past 30 years. It's only popping up again. So the king says, "Tziva, hinei lecha kol hashem mi'poshet." That's it. Everything that Mephibosheth has now belongs to you. Mephibosheth is now a non-person. And Tziva says, very almost oily, silverly, "I bow down to you, may I find favor in your eyes, in the king." Let's go back and figure out who Tziva and Mephibosheth are in this story here. All these little vignettes of all the people coming to greet David as he's running away. So way back, right after Shaul dies, that final battle where Shaul dies, we first met Mephibosheth. Source 2. Yonatan ben Shaul ben Nakeragoyim. Yonatan, that was best friend, the son of Shaul, had a son who was lame. Ben Chamesh Shanim Haya, he was 5 years old, Bavot Shemat Shaul Yonatan Mizrael. That he was 5 years old when they got news back in Givat Shaul that Shaul and Yonatan had been killed in that battle with the Plishtim. But see, Amato, so his nursemaid carry him, but Tanasim ran away. They figured that they're all going to be killed. And as she's running, she fell, and he became lame. So this is a problem with his legs or his spine, I don't know. That's Mipi Boshet. So he was 5 years old at this time. If we go back to the approximate chronology, that's going from 30 to 65. So 35 years later, so Mipi Boshet now is 40 years old. And then he came up again. Mipi Boshet comes up again when David, after all of his wars, and we protected it with the famine with the Gibbonim, David asked, is there any, after he had already been, really been king of United Israel for 10 years, yes, is there anyone left from Beit Shaul? Is there anyone left from the descendants of Shaul? Again, this is many years, 15 odd years after Shaul had died. They say, Mochesed Babur Yonatan, and I will do good things for him. Because of Yonatan, he was my best friend. So I see anyone left from the house of Shaul. Lubeit Shaul Ebed. And there was a servant from the house of Shaul, Shmot Siva. That's our Siva here. He was still alive, Eikrolo El David. He was living in Yerushalayim. David knew where to find him. So he invites Siva over. Yomar HaMelech Elav. So the king asked him, Hatat Siva, are you the Tziva who is the steward of Beit Shaul? I am your servant. Yes, that's me. Is there anyone left from the house of Shaul? And I will do chesed for him. There's one lame son who's been in hiding for these past 15 odd years. The Tziva basically is betraying Mephibosheth. I mean, David is promising to do good things to him, but as far as anybody knows, what he's going to do is slaughter all the rest of Beit Shaul, because that's what you do with your with the family of your rival. Make sure you kill all the sons of the previous king. But Siva tells him where he's been in hiding. So Mephibosheth is brought before David. When he falls on his face, Mephibosheth falls on his face before David. And David says, are you Mephibosheth? I am your servant. This is me. David says, don't be afraid. Because clearly, he is afraid. Because, assuming he's going to be killed like all the rest of the Beit Shaul. So I'm certainly going to do good things for you. And because of Yonatan, your father, I will return to you all the property of Shaul. There's been no surviving heirs of Shaul that anybody knows about. He left intestate, that's the right term, without a will. It's all been the property of the crown. Now you have all this property.
And Danny, yeah. Didn't David swear to Yonatan that he would never kill his children?
He did. So this is him fulfilling that Shavuah. That doesn't necessarily make Maybe Bo should feel any better. Okay, he's still worried about it. But David swears, okay, I am not going to kill. That's the Bavur Yonatan. Because of Yonatan, I swore I wouldn't do it. So this, all this property that belonged to Shaul, that in our story later, this is another 15 years after that, that David is giving everything to Tziva. You have everything that belongs to Mephibosheth. That's the estate of Shaul that I had given to Mephibosheth. I will give to you, I'll return to you all of the property of Shaul, your ancestor. And you will eat at my table. You will be invited to all the royal state dinners. You will be a member of the royal household. So then the king called Siva back, who's the steward of Shaul. Said to him, I have given all that property to Mephibosheth. And since Tziva has been the steward, I'm assuming that up till this point, Tziva has been basically managing all of Shaul's properties. And I suspect he had wanted to basically consider it his own at this point, because there was no one left who would take it from him. Now he's lost it. Now he's going back to being an Eved. And you will continue. You will serve. You will work the land. You, your children, and all your servants. And you will bring the produce of that land to Mephibosheth. And you will eat it. Mephibosheth ben Adonecha yochel tamid lechem al shukhani. And Mephibosheth will all be welcome to my house. And Tziva did not have a small family. He had 15 children. He had 20 servants of his own. He had a nice sized household. Now he has been returned to the service of Mephibosheth. I will do everything that you command me. Mephibosheth achol al shulchani kechamru v'nei hamelech, and Mephibosheth will be honored as though he was one of the princes himself. That's Mephibosheth. The last surviving heir of Beit Sha'ul. He has been given all the property of Beit Sha'ul. Tziva has been said, you just like you served Sha'ul, you will now serve Mephibosheth. And now Tziva has come during the civil war and said, now Mephibosheth is betraying you. He's waiting Yerushalayim to try to take over the whole kingdom because he figures the civil war will tear apart Beit David. And now he will take over. He's been plotting all this point. So he's taking advantage of the civil war. So David believes everything that Tziva says and says Mephibosheth is a non-person. This is what he called a bill of attainder, which we learned about in constitutional law, because you can't do that in the U.S., but a bill of attainder is when the king says, you are not a person anymore. Right? You're punished. That trial, the effect of such a bill is to nullify the targeted person's civil rights, most notably the right to own property, and thus pass it on to heirs, right to title nobility, and at least in the original uses of the right to life itself. He hasn't necessarily said he's going to kill Mephibosheth, but I suspect that's the implication of that. That all this property, I'm now giving it to you, Tziva. However, I'll give you a spoiler alert. Tziva is lying. Completely made this stuff up about Mephibosheth. We'll see that later in Perek Yud Tet. So three prakim from now, after the civil war, David's come back to Yerushalayim, and we kind of unwind all the loose, tie up all the loose ends, rather, of all these people that we're meeting now in the civil war. They come back and try to get their place back with David. So this is part of Yotet. Mephibosheth ben Sha'ul. Mephibosheth, the son, grandson of Sha'ul, Yerad Likrat HaMelech. He goes, as David comes back to Yerushalayim after the civil war, Mephibosheth comes out of Yerushalayim to greet him. And the text tells us, well, asar raglav, and he didn't take care of his legs. He's lame. So clearly that needs some care because he can't feel anything, but not clear exactly what Asa is. But Asa Shvamo, and didn't trim his mustache. He didn't shave. That Begadav Loki Beis, that didn't wash his clothing. All of these are signs of avela, of mourning.
That was neglect.
Okay, I mean, it's intentionally doing these things. And from the day that the king left, until the day that David came back. Mephibosheth basically has been neglecting himself from the time that David left. Okay, this is the text telling us what was happening all this time. Mephibosheth was not plotting against David. He was in mourning. He was neglecting himself, worrying about David. And then when he goes into Yerushalayim to greet the king, he accuses him straight up. Right? As far as he knows, Mephibosheth has betrayed him. So he goes to Mephibosheth and says, what was going on? Why were you not with me? You have 10 seconds to justify your existence, otherwise I cut your head off. And he says, oh, my lord, the king, avadi rimani, my servant, fooled me, conned me. Ki amar avdecha, and because your servant said, achshva li chamor, let me go get a donkey that I can saddle, ve'arkav aleha, and I will ride on it, ve'alich al hamelech, and I'll go to the king, ki biseach avdecha, because I'm lame, I can't walk out there, I need a donkey. So I send Tziva out to get the donkeys, and then he's gone. He He leaves with all my donkeys and all my food and all my raisins and kayed's fruits and all that. And he, my servant, slandered me, your servant, to the king. And you, O king, are like an angel of the Lord. You will do what's right. You will see what's true. But what happened was, Tiva slandered me. It's all a lie. Because I know, O king, that we were all dead men walking. You certainly could have killed us all. But and you made me one of those who would eat at your table. And I have nothing to ask for more mercy, more charity to cry before you, the king. I can tell you what happened. I don't know if you'll believe me, but he was one who was lying. And the king says back, oh, shut up. Right, don't talk to me anymore. Amarti, I've decided. Atav and Tiva tichakot esadeh. You and Tiva will split the desha, all this property. Let him take the whole thing. I don't worry. All I want to see is you come in peace back to the house. That's all I'm looking for. He can take all the property. So that sounds familiar. You have the two litigants coming before the king.
The baby.
Right. It's really mine. The other one's lying, and the king says, split it. And the one who's telling the truth says, no, let the other one take the whole thing.
It's a little different when it's a baby, though.
Yes, I guess that is exactly. I mean, I think that this sets up what we see in the Gemara of Shnayim Ochsim B'Talis. You have two people holding on to a cloak and you split it in the middle. Because this sets up the halacha side of it that makes the story with Shlomo have meaning. Okay? Because, yes, if it was a thing, then yes, splitting it is exactly what you do. So the story of Shlomo is much later. Written much later than this. I think it assumes this sort of legal background. There's always the nomos and narrative. You need to know what the cultural rules are in order to understand the stories. But we'll have to look at this response. He accepts Tiva's Lashon Hara, the indication of that, and with the judgment about splitting, we'll have to look at that later. This is Perkei Tet. Right now, I want to look at the implications of this. This is a perikop, a story, one little story. Right, and he's coming out of Yerushalayim, meets Siva, and he's suddenly fine, and Siva tells him that maybe Boshet, the grandson of Shaul, is plotting against him. Siva has been king of Yerushalayim over all of Israel, rather, for 28 years. As far as he knew, everything was great. His job was to build this mamlacha. He's going to build the Mikdash. That was, this is back in Parachet. It says, Vaymoch David al kol Yisrael, David is king over all of Israel. V'David oseh mishpat u'tzedakah l'chol amo, and he was doing justice, righteousness for the entire people. Everything was wonderful. And we had the story about Sheva, and Absalom, and Amnon, and all that. Those were all within the family. Those were palace intrigues. That didn't reflect some kind of problem with the whole country falling apart. This makes it clear that no, that the rock goes deeper, that things really were not going well. And it's not just his family, it's not just Avshalom, it's not just the consequences of Bathsheba that are following him, that he really hasn't established a unified country. The fault lines are all there. Where he says, we quoted Tehillim Nun Hei before, which is about Achitophel, his advisor who betrays him. It says, Bilad Hashem Palag L'shonam. Hashem swallow up all the divisiveness in their mouths. Ki ra'iti chamas bariv ba'ir. Because I see now there's violence and dissension within the city. In my city. In my Yerushalayim. The city of peace. There is no peace there. Yomom v'layli severa chumata. Night and day, they, this chamas and riv, are wandering around on its walls. Aven v'amal b'kirbah, this sin in the midst of it. Avot b'kirba, there is destruction in the midst. Lo yamish merchavah toch u'mirma. And so, hypocrisy and u'mirma.
deceit.
Deceit, thank you. That's the wrong word. I see con. Deceit, right. That hypocrisy and deceit never leave the streets of Yerushalayim. That's what David's seeing now. This is bad. And it gets worse. All these dangers come back. It's not just the house of Shaul back, but all of Binyamin. That he had, remember talking about why Yerushalayim? Why would he pick Yerushalayim as the capital? A lot of reasons went into it, for religious reasons, but in terms of unity, it's a city in Binyamin. David's from Yehuda, Shaul is from Binyamin. He wants to bring them together. He's going to bring the city that is right on the border, shared between Yehuda and Binyamin. It's not, he's not the king of Yehuda. He's the king over all of Israel. But the resentment runs pretty deep. Because after the story with Ziba, we continue on in our Perek and Perek Tetzayah. Uva Melech David ad Bahurim. David comes to the city of Bahurim, which is in Binyamin. It's halfway to the Yarden from Yerushalayim. Again, he's still moving east. He's going to end up on the other side of the Jordan by the time he gets. He's doing this in the course of one day. We've been taking months at it because he's.
So is that like on the way to the Dead Sea, would you say?
I'm sorry?
So is that be on the way to the Dead Sea?
It's north of the Dead Sea. He's going to end up in Machanayim, which is where the boat comes in. Let's see if I can get a map of. Everything comes up with the Jordan. Yeah, that would be loading. There we go. Okay, so your slime is around here. And he's going to, Machanayim is here at the other side of the, at the intersection. That's where Yaakov is coming back and he crosses over.
Yeah.
Over the Abok and then establishes a camp at Machanayim.
Okay.
Machanayim is right there. But he's going basically sort of north of the Dead Sea.
North and a little east, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's going, you're right. He's heading east. You're right. He's leaving Yerushalayim going that way.
Northeast.
Okay. That's where he's saying. So he goes to Bahurim. I don't know exactly Bahurim. It's clearly on the way there. Name Misham Ish. And the person who's from there comes out. Yotzeh, it comes out from Bahurim to greet them. Mishpacha Beit Shaul. He's from the family of Beit Shaul. Ushmo Shim'i Ben Gera. His name is Shim'i Ben Gera.
No, he's bad news.
That sounds familiar, huh?
Yeah.
Yotzeh, as he's going out, Umkalal and cursing at David. He's young, yeah. But he's called Avanim at David and call out Deim Melech David, and he's throwing rocks at them. As they're walking down, as they're moving east, he's throwing rocks at them from the top of the mountain. And David is surrounded by his people and all of his soldiers. He's got a small army with him, a couple of hundred. It's not enough to fight off Shaul, but certainly enough to take out this one, Shim'i Ben Gera. This is what Shim'i said as he's cursing. Say, come on out, Ish HaDamim, you man of blood, Ish HaBelial, you sinful, wanton sinner. Ashiv Allah Hashem, kol demei Beit Shaul. God is now paying you back for all the blood of the house of Shaul. Hashem Allah Taktav, because you've reigned in his place. Hashem at Malucha, Biyad Avshalom Bincha, and now God is giving your kingdom into Avshalom, your son. Okay, just like you betrayed Beit Shaul, so too Avshalom is betraying you. B'nei Baratcha, and now you are wallowing in your own evil. Ki Ishtami Matai, you are a man of bloodshed. What's that Shimi? Yomar Abishai ben Tsruya. Abishai, the son of Tsruya, that is nephew, one of his generals, says Elamelech, Lomi Kalil Akelab Hamet Hazet Adani Hamelech. Why should we let this dead dog curse you? O king, Evronav Asirat Rochelle, let me go over there. And I will remove his head. And then he will no longer be yelling at you. David looks at them and says, what's the deal between you and me, O sons of Tsruya? It's not just Abishai, we'll see if also Yoav and Tsruya. Remember who they all are. We call you Kalel, we call Marashem. Plus, this cursing is all from the mouth of God. God wants to happen. Hallel David, Umi Omar Madua Sita Kane, and who can say why he's doing that? This is, I deserve all of this. God said it, I need these curses. So David announces, as Shimi is yelling at him and throwing rocks at him, David says to Abishai, all the servants, Nay, Bani, Asher Yotsemi Me'ai, my own son, flesh of my blood. My flesh and blood. Mevakesh Nafshi, he's trying to kill me. Akiyata Ben Hayimini, so now I have to worry about this Benjaminite. Anicho, let him be. Kalel Yomar L'Hashem, let him curse. It's all God's will. Layira Hashem, maybe Hashem will see all my suffering. Yeshiva Hashem li tova, and Hashem will do good for me. I'll accept this. I'll accept all this cursing. Maybe that's enough punishment for me. I almost said today. And Hashem will see that and will say, okay, David, you've suffered enough. You can go back. So David continues on along the way. Shimi holich betzel ahar, and Shimi stayed on the side of the slope of the mountain. Lamito, opposite David, Haloch v'kalel, continuing, yelling at David, cursing him. He said, "Kel b'avanim," throwing rocks at him. Lamato on him, afar v'efer, and throwing dirt on him as he's going to Bacharim. Evo amelach v'chol am, asher ito ayefim, and eventually the king and all his people come tired to Bacharim, v'nefesham, and they rested in Bacharim. They camped in Bacharim. This is the end of the day, of Avshalom's rebellion. So a couple of points about this whole story with Shimon ben Gera. One is this term of Isha Damin, that he curses him with. The first time anyone's called him that. We know that's that David internalized. I really felt that that's what happened there, because we saw when David explained to his son Shlomo, why couldn't he build the Beit HaMikdash? That's what he calls himself. And this is from Divrayim, describing his relationship with Shlomo. Yekom David HaMelech HaRaglav, David gets up, Vayomer Shmuni Achai V'Imi. He's giving this long speech as he prepares the Beit HaMikdash and says Shlomo's going to build it. Listen to my brothers, my people. Ani Mavavi Livnot Beit Menucha L'Aron Brit Hashem. I had wanted to build a house for the Aram. L'adom ragle elokeinu, as the footstool of God. V'akavyoti livnot, and I prepared everything. L'kima marli, and God told me, lo tivneed bayit l'shmi, you will not build this house. Ish milchamot atav damim shafak, because you've spilled all this blood. I point out before that, the actual nevuah, when Natan tells David you can't do that, doesn't say anything about ish damim. Doesn't say anything about ish milchamot. That's where Radak explains it. That never actually happened, where Hashem said, okay, you can't build it because of this Dam LaRod. Well, David realized that himself, that this is why Hashem wouldn't let him do it, because of all this blood he spilled. When Shimi comes and yells at him, you're an Ish Damim, he's saying, yeah, you're right.
But Danny, doesn't that go back to when he went and conquering, he had all those voluntary wars to get money to build the Beit HaMikdash?
Right, so that's a good question. What exactly are the Milchamot Damim that he's concerned about? Was it the foreign wars? Or was it the civil war with Beit Shaul? Mm. Because part of what it means to build the Beit HaMikdash, you need a stable country. A nation of laws, not men, as they say. Mm-hmm. Need elections and peaceful transfer of power. And any relation to current politics is completely coincidental. But yes, I anticipate that in 2 days there will be a peaceful transfer. There will be the beginning of a peaceful transfer of power, no matter what side happens. Whatever side doesn't win. But that's not what happened for David. Right. David did not succeed Shaul in a peaceful transfer power. There was a civil war. And clearly, that's the sort of country that the Beit HaMikdash cannot be built in. Right? The requirements for the Beit HaMikdash is from Devarim, right? V'avartem et yadein, you will construy, v'yishavtem ba'aretz Hashem Hashem Elokeichem, melcheilechem, you will live in this land that Hashem gives you, Yiniach lachem mikol oyvechem, and Hashem will give you peace from all your enemies, misaviv, around you, yishavtem betach, and you will dwell securely. I'm talking about that those are two conditions. You need peace from your eternal enemies. You also need the domestic tranquility, as the Constitution says. That's the important part. That David was at the point of Yiniach lachem mikol saviv. It says that. He fought the wars, that was fine. But he could not leave, get this yishavtem betach. He couldn't get to the point of ensure the domestic tranquility. At one point, I memorized the preamble to the Constitution, but I couldn't get all of it now. But that's one of them. And you need that in order to build the Beit HaMikdash. That's what it says, because the Beit HaMikdash is not just a building; it's a symbol that we are that's from which the word of Hashem goes out to the rest of the world. And everything David does at this point seems to lead to more bloodshed. That's what's so depressing about Shmuel Bet. He's trying hard. He's trying to stop the cycle of violence. Shimei is cursing him, and David says, no, don't take his head off, because that's just going to make things worse. It's worth mentioning, though, that Sefer Shmuel is a work, it's literature. The purpose in what we present here. So David in the last half of Shmuel Bet is about Shura. We talked about that. That's what he's doing. He's so wonderful, right? He's not telling it. He's telling Abishai, don't kill Shimei ben Gera. I deserve it. We'll let everyone live in peace. He's really trying. But real human beings are more complicated than that. And you'll see later that in Sefer Melachim shows a different side of David. He doesn't forgive Shimei ben Gera. This is David's deathbed orders to Shlomo. This is the Haftorah for Echaya Sarah, if I'm not mistaken. Vayikrivu dibei David lamut. David was coming nearing the point of dying. Vayisav Shlomo ben Olei Mar, and he commands Shlomo's son, saying, Anuchi olech b'yarch kol haaretz. I am going the way of all flesh. And you need to be strong, be a man. Quote Rudyard Kipling here. Fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds of distance run, then you're a man, my son. You need to be strong. You need to do these things. You need to keep God's laws. You need to keep Allah's laws. As it's written in the Torah, you need to keep all those rules. The man taskil, so you'll be successful. As we said, taskil in Tanakh doesn't necessarily mean being intelligent. With more success, of course, Shar Taset, everything you do, the Kosher, Shar Tifanei Hashem, and everything that you will find yourself free to do. Laman Akim Hashem et Devarav, so that Hashem will keep his word, and Shadi bear a lie that said to me, Lemar, Im Yishmru Banecha Darkam, Ulechet Lefanai Be'emet, if your descendants will keep, will walk before me in truth, Bechol Vavam Chol Hashem, and all their heart and all their soul. God said, "Lo yikaret lecha ish me'al kisei Yisrael." Then the dynasty will never end. It is conditional, so that's good. That's very firm. That's very religious. Then he continues. V'gam. There's another side. Atayat data esher asali Yoav ben Tsruya. Remember Yoav, my nephew, my general. Esher asali shnei sarei tzvaot Yisrael, and what Yoav did to the two leaders, generals of Israel, Abner ben Ner. We saw that story. When Abner was one of the generals of Shaul who wanted to reunite the kingdom, and Yoav assassinated him. Amasha ben Yeter, who we haven't seen yet, but Yoav's going to kill him as well. Yagim killed him, Yasim Dimei Milchama B'Shalom, and brought the blood of war in peaceful times. Yitain Dimei Milchama B'Charato, and he kept this blood, the blood of war in his belt. Asher Matnav and his cloak, but Alo Asher Baglo and his feet are just soaked in blood. Vasita Kachach Matech, and you Shlomo should do. You be wise about that. Lotered Sevatel B'Shalom Shaol, and he should not die in peace. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but you can figure it out. Lei Barzilai Agiladi Tasa Chesed. We haven't seen Barzilai yet, but he will help David during the civil war. And there you should do good things. They should be guests at your table. Because they came to me when I was running from Avshalom, Achicha, from your brother. V'nei imcha Shimi ben Gera. And Shimi ben Gera, he's still with you. Benimini, he's from Binyamin. Bachurim, from the city of Bachurim. Hu klalani klala nimretzen. He cursed me this terrible curse, b'yom lechti machanayim, when I was going toward Machanayim. Hu yared lekratia yarden, he went to greet me, as it was, when I was going toward the Jordan, b'eshpal, b'ashem lemar, ima amidcha b'cherev, and I swore I would never kill him. Bata al tinikeyu, but you don't let him, don't consider him innocent. Isha kamata, because you're a smart guy. You can figure out what to do with him. Rata et seva toba dam sha'ol, and he should die a bloody death. And you can see the story of what Shlomo does. Basically says to Shimi, you need to stay in Yerushalayim. You're under house arrest. If you leave, then we'll have you killed. And he sets it up so Shimi feels obligated to leave, and then Shimi is killed. So David keeps... In our story, it sounds like he's being wonderful. Oh, I deserve all this. Let Shimi live in peace. But really, he's not forgiving this. He's still setting out. David's a complicated person. At that point is when David died. So that's Shimi ben Gera. He's from the house of Binyamin. He's from Bachurim. And where have we seen Bachurim before? Just thinking about it. This is when David first becomes king in Hebron. So there's a civil war between the house of Shaul. Shaul's dead, but his son Ishbosheth is king in Machanayim, and David is king in Hebron. Vayishlach David malachim el Ishbosheth ben Shaul emar. So David sends a messenger to Ishbosheth. It says, "Knat ishti et Michal. I would like Michal, my wife, back. I've been on the run for the past 10 years. I haven't seen my wife Michal for 10 years now, because she's been with Beit Shaul, and I've been here in Yehuda. Asher arati li b'mea arlo plishtim. I married her for the 100 foreskins. We know that story." So Ishbosheth agrees. Remember, Michal, Shaul basically annulled the marriage between David and Michal.
You mean Shaul?
What?
Shaul nullified it.
Had done that before when David was on the run. And had given Michal to Paltiel ben Laish. So she was married to somebody else.
And he loved her.
He loved her, right? Not clear what Michal's feelings about what that were. And I'm going to talk about he didn't do anything. He kept his innocence. They never committed adultery. And whether it counts adultery is a huge question there. We looked at that. But, Yelech Ita Isha. So now Ishbosheth said, okay, now I'm taking Michal back. And Paltiel is going with her. Alochu Bocha Acharei. He's going and he's crying behind her. Ad Bachurim. He comes to the city of Bachurim.
Oh.
That's where Michal is separated from Laish, Vayomer Elav Abner, Lech Shuv. And that's when Abner, who's Ishbosheth's general, tells Paltiel, Shuv, go back, Beshav, and he goes back. And we never hear from Laish again. We have all these hints of these old stories that are coming back. Here's the tragedy of Michal. He comes back to David, but the love is gone, and we know what happens when he brings the honor in there. They're all coming back to haunt David. He hasn't solved any of these problems from 15 Prakim ago. They've been buried, but they're all coming back out. And who's this Shimi ben Gera? We don't know, but David tells Shlomo, Hinei imcha Shimi ben Gera. Right? That Shimi ben Gera is with you. Clearly is a person of some importance that stayed in the household of Shlomo, at least. Right? That's what Rabak says, Hinei imcha, but Shlomar, Oevcha. He's one of your friends. I have Shevi Mechal, sitting with you, to be used always. Tino Amru Sheyamil Lamdo Torah, that he was the one who taught Shlomo Torah. That he was a good guy. And this is Gemara Bracha that talks about it. Amru Lechia, Bar Ime, Mishmei De'ula. Olam yadur adam b'makom rabo, that a person should always stay with his Rebbe. Shekozman Shimi ben Gera kayam, lo nasa Shlomo et bat paro. That Shimi ben Gera kept Shlomo on the straight and narrow path. Shimi, as long as Shimi was alive, then Shlomo didn't marry bat paro, didn't get pulled up for all of these foreign wives. As soon as Shlomo obeys his father and has Shimi assassinated, Shlomo's kingdom falls apart. So, David of Shmuel, who says, "No, don't kill Shimi. That this is all from Hashem's hands. That it's okay. We need to stop the cycle of violence." That turns out to be right, because as soon as Shlomo goes back and has this Shimi killed, then we have the beginning of the end for Malchut Shlomo. Mm-hmm. But again, Shimi is cursing him, and it's a betrayal, because clearly he's one of the people there. One of the people who was part of David's household. We thought it was loyal to him, even though he's a Benyamini. So here, the Benyamini are all splitting off from him as well. And then I want to go in, not so much in Shimi, but in this, when he says, Mali lachem b'nei Tzruya. Remember the b'nei Tzruya? Like Yoav ben Tzruya and Abishai. So who are these b'nei Tzruya and what are we doing with them? I'm going to stop here and we'll continue on next time, looking more at b'nei Tzruya, who are the kind of friends that, with friends like these, who needs enemies? I will stop recording.